Amen. Thank you. Good morning. May God's grace and His peace dwell richly in your hearts. As some of you know, I'm Pastor Aaron, and it's my joy and honor and privilege to be with you here in worship, to come and celebrate the waters of baptism, and bring our prayers and praise to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I am still kind of new, and I'm still getting to know a lot of you. Something I was thinking about today is you're all still getting to know me, too. So that's also good. And I wanted to share something about myself with you this morning. I'm gonna brag a little bit. A little about myself. I'm really good at road trips. Over the last 10 years or so, I've had opportunities to do a lot of long trips, whether it was from Bend, Oregon down to Irvine for college, or whether it was from Bend to St. Louis, or St. Louis back to Bend. And what I've learned through all that time is I can go in a car a really long time without needing to take a break. It's pretty awesome. And the drive out here, so Amy and I drove from St. Louis to Bend to here. So the drive from St. Louis to Bend is about a 30-hour drive. I drove all but probably an hour or so of that. And I don't know if that says more about my incessant need to be the driver and to be in control, or it says something about my skills as a driver. I think Amy might vote the former. But this series we've been going through has been a road trip. In a lot of ways, it's been a journey for us. And with any road trip, with any journey, there's a destination in mind. Pastor Dan talked about this a little bit last week. The destination for us is the story. And so next week, Pastor Dan's going to be giving us an introduction to the story as we go through that over the next couple months together as a church. And we've looked at a lot of different topics, and we've looked at who God is, and we've looked at who we are, how God interacts with us in the world, and all these different things we've talked about so that you can read with that lens. So that when we're going through the story and you're reading all these different Bible stories and things, that you see justification, you see sanctification, you see these things that we've talked about and the way that God interacts and works through us and in this story. When you go on a road trip, you don't just leave. You plan your trip out. You pull out the road map. I guess people don't pull out road maps anymore, do they? You pull out your smartphone and you plug in the destination into your GPS so you know where to go. It tells you all the different roads you got to turn down to get where we're going. And each week we've gone down a different road and we've looked at different topics so that we can better read and understand God's story and how He works through history and how He's working in your life as well. And today we are turning down our final road and looking at the end times. We're looking at the book of Revelation and what that means for us as Christians. And I think if we're honest, that scares us a little bit. Scares us a little bit to talk about the end times. We may not understand all the things that are going on there. But as I think about the end times and I think about the book of Revelation, it may be the last thing that we're going to talk about in this series. But the reality is it's really a destination in and of itself. When we're looking at the whole scope of Scripture, when we're looking at the story, it all leads to the end times. It all leads to one point right there on the last day. You know, I enjoy talking about the end times. I enjoy talking about the book of Revelation. I think there's a lot to be learned there, and we learn a lot about who we are in Jesus through those discussions and conversations. But something that I've learned over the last couple years is when you have conversations about the book of Revelation or about the end times, you have a conversation with two kinds of people, really. You have the first type of person who knows the book of Revelation really well. And they know all the images, and they know all of the numbers, and what everything means. They know all about the 144,000. They know all about the dragon, and what this means, and what it's going to look like. And in fact, when you have those conversations, typically that they talk exclusively about the book of Revelation. There's a reason that there are like 523 books in the Left Behind series. These people who are so focused in on the end times and the book of Revelation. And then on the other side of that spectrum, you have conversations with people who you mention the book of Revelation or you mention the end times and they immediately shut down. Immediately. They're like, no, we can't talk about that. No, thank you. I don't know what any of that means. You can't possibly know what any of that stuff means, so we're not going to talk about it at all. You have two sides of the spectrum. And it's true. When looking at these things, when looking at the end times, when looking at the book of Revelation, there are a lot of misconceptions. There are a lot of things that we may not know. I appreciated Pastor Dan's message a couple weeks ago. He was talking about the church, and we looked at the book of Revelation, and he was really honest with us. He's like, I don't know what any of that means. I know who the Lamb is, right? And it's refreshing to know that we can live in a healthy medium. We can look at the end times and we can look at the book of Revelation and know it's about Jesus. It's about Christ's victory. It's about Christ coming back. And when I think of Christ coming back, I think of Advent. Now that it's September. I was on Facebook a couple days ago, just this week, and I have two or three friends that were posting about listening to Christmas music. And I was like, it's September. But you know, September, so we're only two major holidays away, so it's acceptable. 4 months. It's 4 months away. I will say I have very strict policies and strong opinions on when Christmas music is and isn't to be played, but we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that later. I love Christmas, and I love the season of Advent, preparing for Christmas. And when we say that word Advent, what Advent means is it's a word that expresses the arrival of someone important. And so for us at Christmas, our Advent is we're getting ready for baby Jesus to come. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. We're celebrating the fact that God came down to earth and was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And something I think that we don't consider a whole lot is Advent is more than just baby Jesus. Sure, we should look back. We should look back and celebrate absolutely the fact that Christ was born and that he came and lived and died and rose from the dead. But Advent is also about looking ahead. Because Christ is going to come back. He's going to come back. This is something we know to be true. If we read through the scripture, we see time and time again Jesus saying, hey guys, I'm going to leave, and then I'm going to come back. From our reading this morning from Matthew, Jesus said that the Son of Man is going to come on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Or we can look, I like to look at Acts 1, where Jesus ascends into heaven. And so they're on this mountain, and the disciples are gathered around, and Jesus rises up into the clouds. And the disciples are just standing there, looking up, really confused over what's happening. Why is Jesus leaving us? And so as they're standing there looking, they hear a voice of an angel who says, guys, stop looking into the sky. The same Jesus that has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in just the same way. I want us to open up our Bibles this morning, so if you would, grab a pew Bible, and we're going to open up to 1 Thessalonians 5. It's page 987. As we look to the scriptures, we see that Christ's coming, his second coming, is heralded by himself, by angels. And then all through the New Testament, we have all these little letters, these epistles, where Jesus' disciples are anticipating Christ coming back. And so here in 1 Thessalonians 5, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the book, or to the people of Thessalonica. That's a mouthful. And he is writing about that last day. So we're going to start at verse 1 in 1 Thessalonians 5. Read with me. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness." I want you to keep that open because we're going to come back to it. But when we look in the Bible, we see that the end times, the last day, judgment day, whatever you want to call it, it's about the return of Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. But the problem that we run into is we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We don't know where it's going to happen. And so many people have spent so much time trying to figure out that exact moment that Jesus is going to come back. I did a study on a group in the 19th century called the Adventists. The Adventists were trying to find the exact day that Jesus was going to return to earth. And they put it on their calendar, and they gathered together on that day and were really disappointed. For us, when we think of the last day, I don't want us to focus on when it's going to happen and all that. What I want us to focus on is what we're going to see. And so I want us to focus on two things. The first thing we're going to look at is what has been accomplished in Jesus that we will see on the last day. So we're going to continue on in 1 Thessalonians 5 to see what Paul says about that. This is what has been accomplished. Verse 8. "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him." What has been accomplished in Jesus is our life in him, our salvation in him. And to see that on the last day, we need to look no further than Revelation 7. In Revelation 7, the Apostle John is standing there in his vision, and he sees this great multitude of people. And they are coming out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And when we see that great multitude, that's us. We are the great multitude coming out of the great tribulation. We are the ones that have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So for us, what has been accomplished is on the cross, Jesus died for our sins. Our sins are washed away through the blood by the blood of Jesus. And then Jesus rose to new life. Through his resurrection, we have life with him in his name. But we also have things that we are going to look ahead to. Things that will be accomplished in Jesus. I hope by now you've realized that Jesus is kind of the central figure here. When we're looking at the book of Revelation, it's about Jesus. When we're looking at the end times, it's about Jesus. And when we look at the Word of God, when we look at our Bibles, this story is about Jesus. But when we look ahead to what is going to happen on that last day, what will be accomplished, I ask some questions. You know, why does Jesus need to come back? Didn't he accomplish everything? Or, you know, well, when, for that matter, why did he come in the first place? Why did Jesus come to earth? And we read through the New Testament and we read a lot about Jesus. We read a lot about why he came. In John, he tells us that he came to be a judge. Again, in John, he tells us, I came to be the light of the world. I could quote scripture passage after scripture passage of why Jesus came to this world. But ultimately, it comes down to one thing. Jesus came to earth because of the state of mankind, because of the state of this world around us. We were sick. We are sick. The ground in front of us is tainted with sin. There's a curse on the very earth. Everything around us is tainted by this sickness. Jesus said in Mark 2, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick do. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Christ came to be a healer. And he did heal. He healed people of leprosy and all number of ailments and things in the Gospels. But the sickness that Christ came to heal was deeper. It was inside of us. The sickness of sin in our lives. I think the Apostle Paul said it really well in Galatians. This is why Jesus came. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. You want to know what Jesus is all about? You want to know what the end times are all about? It's just one word. Redemption. Jesus came to redeem. And that word redeem means to buy back. Jesus, with his holy, innocent, and precious blood, bought us back from sin, from death, and from the devil. We are taken back and we are made his own. We have been bought with a price. That's what we're talking about here. But looking ahead, things that will be accomplished, we look to Revelation 21. Jesus isn't done. Jesus is going to come back. And when he does, he's not going to stop with redeeming us. He goes one step further and brings redemption to all of creation. And when Jesus redeems things, it's not like he goes to the pawn shop and buys back an old item. When Jesus redeems, he restores. In verse 5 of chapter 21 that we read this morning, God says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Here on the last day, God, who spoke the world into existence, brings us back to his initial plan, his intended perfection. God restores his creation. He makes all things new. I think back to what I was talking about with road trips. Typically, when having a real road trip, you road trip somewhere and then you come back. For us, this last day is the destination, and God's plan was always to bring us back to where we first started, to bring us back to creation, to bring us back to when God looked at his very creation, he said, it is very good. He looks at you and me, and he says, you are holy and blameless in my sight. God said that when he created. He said, this creation I've made is very good. And then we took a wrong turn. And then we took another wrong turn. And soon enough, we were pretty lost. But then God sent his son Jesus into the world. And Jesus was like our GPS. He plugged us in to get to the destination and brought us back to restoration. God said to his creation, it is very good. And so it shall be on that last day. When we think about the end times, we can be apprehensive. We can be confused. Sometimes we don't know all the things that we should know. But my hope for you is that when you read the book of Revelation, or when you think about the end times, the last day, judgment day, whatever you want to call it, when you think about that, I don't want you to think about fear and fire and brimstone, because for those who put their faith and their trust in Jesus, what we see in Revelation 21 is what we have to look forward to. A God who restores, a God who makes all things new. And that's something that we can rejoice and look forward to. A second advent, the coming of our Christ, our Lord and our King, who comes to restore all things. May it be so. Amen.